Daf is a Daf Yud Aleph. So the Gemara was talking about a very interesting mission about different types of areas of halacha, whereby some of them were very much rooted in the halacha and in the Torah, others were not at all. Some had some asmachta, some connections in the Torah. So the Gemara was talking about Hekdesh, how Hekdesh and Me'ilos in particular was Kehararim Tuluyim B'Sa'ara. There was like mountains of halachas that were being held by a thread, by a hair. And the Gemara was trying to figure out what was such a chiddush about the Mila. So the Gemara was going back and forth which cases, and it suggested this and suggested that. In each case, even though initially it sounded like a big chiddush, like it was hanging onto a thread, in the end the Gemara said, no, that's a very obvious point. It's not such a chiddush. So let's take it in the middle of that discussion. The Gemara says, two lines down on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Ella. Ella me seifa must be from the seifa, where bana besoch beso, a person took something hektesh, built it, placed it in his house. Harez elomol, he's not subject to mila, even though he put it and positioned it and built it in his house, he's not subject to mila. Ad sheyoder tachdeh b'shevaputin, still he lives underneath it until he gets hana of a shevaputin, because one only violates meila if there's a value of a pruta that he gains. So Gemara says, wait a second. Michli, let's understand this for a second. Is that such a big chiddush? That was initially the Gemara suggestion of a chiddush. Is that such a chiddush? Shnuye shnuye. He's mechana. He changed it. He took hekdesh and he changed it, put it into the building. Mali dar, mali lo dar. Who cares whether or not he lives in it or he doesn't live in the house? He took a hekdesh and placed it into a house. So that's a big chiddush. And the Gemara says, Hainu kahararim hatulim besara. That must be the mountains that are hanging by a thread. That's the chiddush of Me'ila, because only when he lives in it is he subject to Me'ila. But he doesn't live in it, he's not subject to Mila, he was Mishanda, the Hekdesh. So that's the Gemara's suggestion at this point. And the Gemara says, my Kusha, what's the question? Dilma l'chadrav. Maybe it's like Shitas Rav, the Amar Rav, Kagon Shenicha al Pi Aruba, where you placed it in a in a window, there's a hole. You placed it down there. You didn't actually build it in the house. You didn't cement it. You didn't place it and screw it and nail it. You put it there, it could easily be removed. So there wasn't much of a shinoi. So that's why only if you get hana is it subject to mila. But if you simply place it there, that's not called a shinoi. Just look at Rashi three lines down from the top here. It says, Rashi, shenicha pi aruba, lifkok aruba, to close up the window. There's a little gap there. V'cholsha shayir to note that whenever you want, you could remove it. Below shinoi mida, there's nothing changed. If you did a shinoi to it, ain't a chanami, you'd be subject to mila immediately. Here, there's no shinoi. You just laid it down in a hole, and you can remove it whenever you like. That's why only if you also get hana, is there going to be a violation of mi'ilas. That's a very sensible thing to say, and it's not a chiddush. That's not what's called a kararim tulim besara. So back to square one. So Gemara says again, Da'amar Rav Kigon Shenicha Piaruba, I Darbe In, if you live in it, you get Hana, it's subject to the Isser. I Lo Darbe, if you don't live in it, Lo, there's no Isser because you didn't get Hana, and there's no Shinoi, so that seems to be a very obvious point. So Gemara says, so in the end of the day, what is the Chiddush by Me'ila? That's Kahararim Tulim Bisara. And the Gemara finally says that El Eliyom Kidirava, really it's like Chita Rava on Daf Yud Amabez. And Rava was one who said that when a Baal Bais sent a Shliach to violate Me'ila, and the Baal Bais remembers, it was actually Hekdesh that he sent, he didn't realize, so he forgets about it, or now he remembers, he removes himself from the Shlichas, now the poor Shliach gets the Isser because he just lost his connection to the Baal Bais. So why is it fair to him that the Shliach is going to violate the Isser? If he had no idea anything about it being Hekdesh, so that was the Gemara's initial suggestion. And the Gemara says, what's the chiddush there? The kashulach, that which we asked on Daf Yudam Abez, me did the havi amotzi mos hektesh l'chulim. The guy accidentally took money. He thought it was chulim, but it was actually hektesh. He didn't realize, he forgot. And then he went ahead and used it. He's subject to the Isser Mila here as well. If he didn't realize, the shliach didn't realize it was hektesh, so he gets the Isser Mila. What's the chiddush? We already know the halacha. And Gemara says, no, there's a big difference between a guy who had money of Hekdesh, money of Chulin, and took the wrong pile. Because at least there, he knew at some point one of them was Hekdesh, he just got confused. But here by the Shliach, he had no idea that Baal Bais was sending him with Hekdesh, and yet still he gets the Isser, that's the Chiddush. And the Gemara says that. Gemara says this distinction. Hussam over there, Miyada Yada, the guy knew, Dika Zuze Hekdesh. That the guy, the initial case here, where I have money of chulin, money of mouse, I should have been careful. I should have been careful, paying attention which wallet I was taking, and therefore I'm subject to the Isser. So that's not such a chiddush. But hacha here, where I'm a shliach, miyada, did I know that the Baal Bais was sending me? I don't know what he has in his wallet, in his bank account. He sent me with money. It's not my responsibility to check what type of money he sent. and yet still I get the Isser Me'ila as a Shliach. Hainu, Kararim Natulim Bisara. These are the mountains of Me'ila that are hanging by a thread. So now the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah further. Mikra Muat V'alachas Merubos. So Tana, the Braisa adds, Nigayim V'alos are also cases of Mikra Muat V'alachas Merubos. That if you look at the lachas of Tsaras, the lachas of Olos, there are very few psukim, and there are a lot of halachas. Where says, really? Nigayim Mikra Muat? Anyone learn Parshas Sefer Vayikra, Tazria, Mitzora? It's only a few psukim. There are a lot of psukim there. Nigam or Mikra Merubahu. There are a lot of psukim that discuss Nigayim. So what the Gemara means, Amar Papa, Hachikamar. Nigayim are Mikra Meruba. There are many psukim that discuss Nigayim, Teras, Valachas, Muatos, and they're not then so many halachas. And Olos are Mikra Muat. There are only a few psukim found in Parshas Chukas that discuss Olos, Tumas Oel, and their halacha Merubos. So my nafkamina, who cares? Why is the Mishnah telling me there are more halachas, more psukim, less psukim? Who cares about this? And to the Gemara, very important. My nafkamina, imistapka l'chamilsa. If you're not sure about a certain halacha, b'negayim, so the Gemara is suggesting, if you don't know what the halacha is, where should you first look? Ayin b'kra. Since there's so many psukim in negam, most likely you'll find the answer to any suffix you have in negam in the psukim themselves. That's the starting point, because all the psukim are found there. However, imistapka l'milchsa b'olos, if you have a shayla in Tumas Oel, you're not going to find many answers in the psukim because there are many few, very, very few psukim. Therefore, ayin b'masis, and look in the mishnas because there are a lot of mishnayos, and most likely you'll find the answer in the mishnayos. So it's giving you just an eitza tova, how to save time in terms of exploring different shaylas. So then the Gemara says, dinim. The Gemara says, dinim, also the Mishnah had said on Daf Yudam and Alf, that dinim are an example of that which is a yesh almash yismichu. There's what to rely on. I mean, there's no explicit halachas of dinim. It's a certain smachta that's found in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, michtiv ksivi, there are many psukim about dinim. Of choshe mishpat, look at mishpatim and beyond, there are a lot of psukim. So Gemara says, no. Lo nitzicha ela l'chadrebi. You're right. In general, there are many psukim that are basis for the choshe mishpat, but there's a particular halacha that only has an asmach d'ba'am. What's that halacha? It's the shita of Rebbe, the Tanya Rebbe Omer, nefesh tachas nefesh, a person, one person is a soul in place of the other person's soul. What do you mean, nefesh tachas nefesh? Mammon is referring to the mammon, even though the pasuk says nefesh tachas nefesh. A person accidentally had, if you look at Rashi, he explains the pasuk here, im asan yeh shemesa isha, and the person accidentally, she dies, the woman dies accidentally, so then you're not chayv misa, not chayv anything, rather chayv mamon, demeya isha liyarsha, you have to pay the money to the yorshin. Even though the pasuk says nefesh tachas nefesh, that the murderer who was completely accidental has to pay his nefesh, we learn it means mamon. So ata omer mamon, you think it refers to money? Oh, eino ela nefesh, maybe mamish, it really refers to nefesh itself. Nemra nesina lamata, nemra nesina lamala, there's a gzer shava nesina by nefesh tachas nefesh, and nesina by dmei vlados, and the dmei vlados, a person causes a woman to miscarriage, that the pasuk clearly says you pay money, so to the nesina, nefesh tachas nefesh also refers to mamon, malahalan mamon, afkan mamon. So this is a big chiddush, and that's what the Gemara, the Mishnah means, that's an asmach d'ba'amah, this particular halacha, that although explicitly the pasuk says nefesh tachas nefesh, the drush is, refers to mamon. So then the Gemara says, Avodos. Avodos, the world of Karbanos, is also an example of a Yesh Lohenal Mash Yismichu. There's what to rely on. What to rely on? There are many psukim. Look at all Sefer Vayikra and Parshas Pinchas, Michtav Ksivi. There are many psukim about the Avodos. Lo Nitzicha Elo Lo Lachas Hadam. Referring to Olacha in particular, we know that there are four avodas when it comes to the Karbanos. There's the Shechita, there's the Kabbalah, there's the Holacha, and there this is the Zrika. These are the four avodas of Karbanos. So Holacha, when it comes to Olacha Zadam, bringing the blood from where it was caught to Mizbech, that's not explicit in the Pasuk, and that's a Chiddush, that's what the Mishnah refers to as having a Smach Tav'amah. What's the basis for Holacha? So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, the Tanya, V'kriva, the Pasuk says, and you bring it closer, the Gemara says, Zu Kabbal Sadam. That's referring to Kabbal Sadam. Even though it refers to coming closer, what it must be referring to really is Kabbalah. It's Kabbal Sadam, catching the blood. V'afki rachmana b'lashon halacha. And even though it's referring to Kabbal Sadam, but it used the word v'krivo, which means to bring it closer, it also refers to halacha as well. D'chsiv v'hikriv ha'koin es ha'kol, v'hiktim is becha. Amar mar zu halachas evarm lekevesh. They're referring to that bringing the limbs, he brings it closer to the ramp. So here as well, the krivo referring to the blood is referring to bringing the blood closer to the ramp to Nizbeach as well. So the Gemara says, L'meimra d'olacha lo tafka mechlal kabbalah. So to teach us this halacha, that if you look at Rashi, lo tifka mechlal kabbalah, l'chol dvareha, we shouldn't exclude halacha from kabbalah, meaning what? V'afagav, says Rashi, she avoda she'ef shila batla, that if you wanted, you could avoid halacha, you could circumvent halacha. Shimrata shochet betar mizbech v'zorek, if you wanted, you could shech next to the mizbech, catch the blood next to the mizbech, and zorek next to the mizbech, and you don't need halacha. Heich de la batla avoda, when you don't circumvent it, when you have to utilize the halacha, u'mefaglin is a carbon mechshavaso, a pigle will affect it during the halacha, v'ticha karin b'gdei kuna, u'posba onen v'yoshiv v'aril, all the psalm apply. In other words, that even though halacha isn't necessary, but when halacha is utilized, so all the dinim apply, that you need a karin b'gdei kuna, all the psalm would apply as well. Either way, we see from here that the pasuk v'krivo refers to Kabbalah Saddam, but we also learn it refers to halacha. That's not so explicit. That's what the mission means. It's a avoda that has alma yishismichu in the pasuk. So then the Gemara says further. The Gemara says Tyrus. So Tyrus, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, is another example, says sheish alma yishismichu. There's somewhat what to rely on in the pasukim. Gemara says, it's only what to rely on? Michtev ksivi. There are plenty of pasukim that discuss Tyrus. So the Gemara says, "Lo nitzcha ela l'shiur mikva delo ksiva," referring to one particular area of halacha of Tyros that's not explicit. That's what the Mishnah means that it's al mashi yismichu. What's that halacha? That there's a particular shiur when it comes to the mikva that's not doesn't mention the shiur mikva in the Torah. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us based on the pesukim, "V'rochat es besar b'mayim," that you're supposed to bathe your entire body in the water. "B'mei mikva es kol besaro," that the water that's able to capture the entire body. Yamayim shekogufa olabem, there has to be enough water where a person's entire body may be immersed entirely in the mikvah. The kamahain, how much is that? It's an amma al amma barom shalosh amos. There has to be amma by amma, and the height has to be another 3 amos. Vishiaru chachamim may mikvah arbaim son. Chacham decided and they figured out, they assessed that this must be a total of 40 sa. So based on this Mishnah here, based on this Gemara rather, there's a big machlokas whether or not 40 sa is a shir deraisa or a shir midirabanim. Because there's a Gemara Nazir that tells us the shir of a mikvah is actually revius. Now obviously revius won't fit a person, but anything above revius would qualify. 40 sa was just a safe measurement of chachamim, but anything above revius, that as long as a person could fit in, that's really the shir. So that's some hold that 40 sa is really a smach of amma. Others say no. The Gemara in Nazir that says revius, that's referring to tfilas kalim. But tfilas adam, as the Gemara describes here, that's 40 sa, that's a din midaraisa. There's another question that appears in the Rishonim. When we say 40 sa, does that refer to only 40 sa of a mikvah that comes from megishamim? What about a ma'ayon? What about a spring? Does that also have to have a sheer 40 sa or not? So some say, just like 40 sa is by megishamim, so the 40 sa is by a ma'ayon. Others say, no, a ma'ayon doesn't require any sheer as long as it's from a spring, as long as a person could fit in, that's going to work as well. Now, Tosa asks an interesting question. If you look at Tosa at the bottom here, Birom Gimel Amos. Tosa says, V'yafogav sh'adam machzik dal amos, even though koma, a person's height is really around 4 amos high, however you figure out an amos is, k'demuchach b'shmeisen, d'chuchin d'orech ha'kuch dal amos, komas adam, referring to the length of they used to bury people in these kuchim, s'eina ela gimel amos, levad harosh, the person's height is 3 amos aside from his head. So how is it possible that 3 amos height is enough for the water? So it says the Tosos, umati lahar chenes rosho, meaning the three, his up to his spine, to his neck, that's 3 amos. His head's another amma, so he could bend down, or he or she could crouch down, and that's sufficient. So you're right, einach nami, 4 amos is the height, standing tall, but a mikvah, one does not need to stand tall, the person could crouch into the water, and that would be sufficient. So now the Gemara says in the bottom here,
besides the amount of water that has to cover a person at once if you throw it on him, or he has to fit in there. It seems from those that he has to fit.
He has to fit in there. Yeah. It's fit in there.
He has to fit in
exactly.
There.
So then the Gemara says, Timaeus is another example in the Mishnah that has Amash Yismichu, and answers the Gemara asks, Michtev Ksiva. There are many psukim, not just in Asmachta in the Torah about Timaeo. Lo nitzcha eloch lechadosha minasheres de lo ksiva. That even a sheretz that's the size of a kadosh, like a lentil, which is very, very small, that is matami a person. Although it's not mentioned explicitly in the Torah, that's what the Mishnah is referring to as amash yismichu. The Tani, the Brisa says, bahem, let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk on the side tells us, elu atameim lachem b'chol asheretz, the following shratzim are tamei, kol hanogea bahem, those who touch it, b'mosem when they're dead, yitma adhar will be tamei for the day. So bahem, it says, you have to touch them. Yachal b'kul, one thought maybe you have to touch the entire sheretz. So Tam Lomar mehem, it says in a different pasuk that mehem v'chal sheyipol av mehem b'mosam, only part of them. Yachal b'miksasim, one might think only touching part of it should be tamei. Tam Lomar behem. So do you have to touch the whole sheretz, part of the sheretz? How do we reconcile this steer and the pesukim? Haketada achiga b'miktsaso shukikula. You have to touch part of the sheretz. That's like the whole sheretz. What does it mean? That part of a sheretz that's like a whole sheretz. Shiaru chacham b'mikadasha, the size of a lentil. Shekein choma tchilaso b'kadasha. So a chomer, Rashi says some type of sheretz. He says it's a min sheretz shekori limga. I don't know what that means in English. I don't know if it's English translation. It's some small sheretz. That's how this starts at that size. So if you touch a part of a sheretz that's dead, that's the size of a kadasha, which is the size of a whole chomet, that would make a person tamei. So just to be clear again, a chomet is a small sheretz, which is the size of a kadasha. If one touched it, he's tamei. If you touch another sheretz, which is larger, which is dead, but only part of that sheretz, a broken leg or a broken tail, if that tail or leg is the size of a kadasha, that would be metame a person as well. That's the chiddush that's not mentioned explicitly in the psukim, that's based on the drasha. And Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, kizanam halta, like the tail of a halta. What's halta? I forget what halta is again. Anyone know what it is? The English is what? A lizard? Type of lizard? Like the tail of a lizard. That too, Rashi says that after you cut it off, it could still wiggle. It could still have some life to it. That has some chiyus to it. Either way, that's part of a animal, of a sheretz, that is the size, if it's the size of a kadasha, can be metame, a person. So now the Gemara says, Arayos is another example, the last example of the Mishnah, which is only al shem mashi yismichu. There's what to rely on. Moses says, what to rely on? Michtev Ksivi. Look at Parshas Achrimos, Parshas Kedoshim. There are many psukim that describe Arayos. How can the Mishnah only say it's an Asmach the Ba'alma? The Gemara says, no, the Nitzchah are only referring to a particular one of the Arayos going on to Daf Amr Beis. Now, Yud Alf Amr Beis, Libito Manusaso. A daughter from a man who raped a lady, a woman, and that daughter, that offspring, that's not explicit in the psukim. The Lo Ksivi is not mentioned explicit in the Pasuk. There's a couple of gzeh shavas which tell us that a bas or bito manusaso is also one of the arayos as well, and that's what the Mishnah was referring to. And then finally, the Gemara concludes the last line of the Mishnah: hein hein kufrei Torah. So these are the main parts of the Torah, the essence of all of Torah, that which is listed in our Mishnah. And to ask the Mara, honey in, b'hanech lo, only that which is mentioned in this Mishnah, these are the Gufei Torah, but all the other halachas of all Mishnahs throughout Shas, they're not considered Gufei Torah. Ella, what the Gemara Mishnah means is Ema, hein, v'hein, Gufei Torah. What it means is these and those, meaning these are part of Gufei Torah, lest the person think that since these are not explicitly mentioned in the Pesukim, they're not really essential to the Torah. No, they are also part of what is called Gufei Torah, which of course is referring to all halachas, whether explicit or whether implicit, they're all part of Gufei Torah. Hadron Alach, Hakol Chayavim. We finished the first parak, now we begin the second parak. Mishnah tells us as follows. Mishnah says, Ein Dorshin Barayos Bishlosha. One cannot learn the halachas or teach the halachas of Arayos with three people. And says Rashi, two and him. I mean, if I'm the Rebbe, I can't teach two people. It has to be less. And the Gemara will explain why. Veloba Maisa Bereshis. Bishlam, you can't learn Maisa Bereshis with two people, with a Rebbe and a Talmud. What exactly is Maisa Bereshis? The Rambam refers to how the world was created, the science of the world, the Big Bang, whatever came to the building of the world, the creation of the world. That can't be described into it, learned with two people. That's Tosos on the Rambam's understanding. Look at Tosos. Tosos is not referring to how the world was created from a scientific perspective. Rather, Tosos writes, Ein Dorshin B'Maisa Bereshis Perish Rabbeinu Tam Hu Shem Mem Beis Osios Hayosim Bereshis U'Pasuk She'achrava. The 42-letter name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is hinted at in the first 42 letters of the Torah, that's what's referring to. That can't be learned with two people. And back to the mission of Loba Merkava, B'Yachid, a Yachid can't learn a Merkava, Elim Kein Haya Chacham Mavin Midait, unless he could understand on his own. What's Maisa Merkava? So the Rambam says it refers to the whole Shalshalus of the Kedusha, refers to Malachim, deep understandings of what goes up on Shemaim, that's what's called Maisa Merkava. That cannot be learned with one person, unless that person could understand on his own. And then the Mishnah says, "Kol amestakel ba'arba dvarim." A person looks into four things, rasui. And the more appropriate gears for our understanding is really ra'oi, the suffix which with an alf, ra'oi. Such a person who looks at four matters, ke'ilu lo ba'liyom. It's as if he didn't come to the world. The person will get so confused about these four matters. What are the four matters? Malamala, what's above the world? Or maybe above Hashem or above the Malachim? Malamata, what's below? Malafnim, what was before the world? Malach, what will be after the world? We'll describe this all in the Gemara. V'chol shlo chas al kvod kono, and those who don't have honor, respect to Hashem, which we'll see also in the Gemara, ra'oi lo shlo ba'liyom. Better for him not to come to the world at all. So some very deep topics here in this Mishnah. So Gemara says, let's take it step by step. Amris Bereish, we said, Lo b'merkava, b'yachid, a person should not learn b'yachid by himself. Rather, Amris, elam kein, hayachachin, mevin, chacham, mevin, medaita. So it's a bit trickier. So the question here is, if you're a yachid, you shouldn't learn. I mean, you shouldn't learn by yourself. But then the Gemara says that unless you're able to mevin medaita. By definition, if you're learning on your own, that means you're mevin medaita. So it's like a stira. Don't learn by yourself unless you're maybe medaito. Anyone learning by themselves, by definition, is a maybe medaito. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, no. What it really means here is, hachi kamar. Ein dorshin barayos lishlosha. Initially, we thought the three was including the Rebbe. No. The three is aside from the Rebbe. A Rebbe shouldn't teach three people. Below, ma'is b'reishu l'shaim. A Rebbe shouldn't teach two people, ma'is b'reishu. Below, mer kaval yachid. A Rebbe shouldn't teach one individual, elamkin, unless that person is a yachacham maybe medaito, unless that person could have on his own understood by himself, so then the Rebbe could teach him because he could have learned on his own, so it's okay for the Rebbe to teach him as well, so we should add another person in each of these categories in the Mishnah, which makes sense now. So now the Gemara wants to understand, why can't you teach to three people, Arayos, my inspiration to two people, what's going on here? So the Gemara says, Ein Dorshin b'Arayos b'shlosha, which means lishlosha, why not? My time, what's the reason? Elaim, if it's because Mishum Dichsiv Ish Ish, El Kol Shar Bisaro. So we make a drasha, it comes to Arayos, it says, Ish Ish double Lashon, Ish Ish is Trey, Shar Bisaro, Bisaro Cha, that's another person, that's three. Vamarachmano, Lo Sikru, Lagalis Ero, don't reveal, don't learn, don't teach Arayos with three people. So it's based on the drasha, the Pesukim by Arayos, very nice drasha. Or say, El, if that's the case, El Miata, Dichsiv Ish Ish, Kikala El Kov. A person shouldn't kill, shouldn't curse rather Hashem. Ish Ish, Yitain Mizar Lamoch, shouldn't give his children to Moloch. Hachanami, we're going to say the same thing, that when it comes to learn the lachas of Mekal Hashem, you have to have two people, ish ish, and the same drasha by Moloch? Certainly not. So it's not based on the drush and the psukim. Ela, hanumi baile, the reason why it says ish ish by those psukim, lirabos es hanochrim, shemuzharin al birchas Hashem, valvodazar ki Yisrael. The double lashon ish ish is telling me not how many people can learn together, rather that included in ish ish is that even non-Jews are subject to the isra birchas Hashem of cursing Hashem, and also of Avodah Zarah, like Moloch as well. Hainami here as well. Ishish by Arayos is telling them, Mimbarilei, Lerabos is Anachrim, Shemuz Harun al Harayos ki Yisrael. That one of the Shem Mitzvah B'nei Noach is that a Gois is Muzar, is warned, has to keep the Lachas of Arayos. Nothing to do with how many people can learn at the same time. So we'll leave that drasha aside, nothing to do with our topic. Ella, it must be from the word Midichsiv, Ushmartem is Mishmarti, preserve, protect my Mishmeris. Ushmartem trey implies you two should protect. It's two people. Mishmarti is another one person. The Torah goes on to say, Levilti asas michukos ha-te'oivos. Don't be involved in that which is a to'eva, meaning arayos. Three people should not be taught at the same time. That's the drasha, based on the word mishmeres. El Meata, if that's the case, Dichsev Ushmartim is a Shabbos, Ushmartim is a Mitzvos, Ushmartim is a Mishmeres HaKodesh. We have many times where the Pasuk uses Ushmartim, we don't have such a drush of only teach two or three people at the same time. Hachanam, are you going to say the same thing? Certainly not. So Gemara says, you're right. It's not based on any Pesukim, it's based on a Svara. What's the Svara? And the Gemara says, Ela Amar Vashi. Vashi says, My Ein Dorshin by Rais Beshlosha. What does it mean? What's the reason? Ein Dorshin Besisre Rais. Don't describe the secrets. What are the secrets? And Rashi says that which is not mufurish, for example, Rashi is Bito Manusaso, or Eim Chamav, the mother of a father-in-law, or Eim Chamasu, the mother of the mother-in-law. These are things that are out there, not explicit in the Torah, they're based on drushes. Don't reveal, don't teach the Sisra Rayos with three people, why, my time or why not. It's a Svaru, it's sensible, it's logical. Beitre, Kiyosvi Kami, Rabbi, when two people are sitting in front of the Rebbe, oftentimes what happens is Chad Shakil Vatari Bahadeha Rebbe. One guy is giving the Rebbe a hard time, asking questions, and they're going back and forth. And the other guy, the V'idach, the second Talmud, is Matzli Odenei. He tilts his ear, he pays attention, the Gemara to learn. That's if there's two Talmud and one Rebbe. So there's Reuven and Shimon. Rebbe's talking to Reuven back and forth, question answered, and Shimon sits there listening. Nothing's distracting him. He's paying attention to the conversation. But if there's plus, if there's three boys in the room, three Talmud in the room, Chad Shaka Vatari Bahadai Rebbe. So Reuven's talking to the Rebbe back and forth. Now, the other guy's bored. Shimon's bored. So what did he do? And he can't listen to, he didn't want to listen to the Rebbe. He turns to his friend Levi, now the third guy, and they have a conversation. The other two are busy learning, maybe talking, but they're not paying attention to the Rebbe. They're not going to pay attention to what the Rebbe's talking to Reuven. And also the Mishrei Aisur Baras, and they come to permit an Isaras because they did not learn the drasha properly from the Rebbe. So two people make sense to learn from the Rebbe, these topics, but not three people. Yachi, that's the case. Call Torah Nami. So the entire Torah, you have the same concern. Why only Arayos? Every area of Torah, you should have that concern of the guy not paying attention to the halacha of a Choshe Mishpat, of a Gezela, and this and that. Why Dafka Arayos? So Gemara says, time is shiny, Arayos shiny. Arayos is different. Damar Mar, Gezel, V'Arayos, Nafsho, Mechamdason, U'Mishavalehem. These are two areas of the world where people's tithes are very strong, for Gezela and Arayos. So it's easy for him to ignore it. And be mata or something. I never heard from my Rebbe that this was usur, so he's gonna be, he'll justify it to himself and go ahead and do this. So Gemara says, Yahachi, that's the case. So Arayos, we understand why. Be very, very careful about teaching the halachas of Arayos because the taivas are so strong. But Gezel Nami, Gezel as well. We just said that the two categories that a taiva is so strong is Gezel and Arayos. So we should have the same halacha when the Rebbe teaches Gezela, there should only be two talmidim in the room, not more, because if he misses the discussion, he's gonna mata something to himself. And Gemara says, no, Arayos, Bein Befanov, Bein Shlofanov, Nafish Yitzra. Now, even though Arayos and Gez are very strong, but the taiva of Arayos is even stronger. That a person's taiva for Arayos, are, whether or not the erva is present, or even when the erva is not present, it's still going to have a strong taiva. As opposed to Gezel, Befanov, Nafish Yitzra. If it's Gezel's presented in front of him, that will create a certain taiva. But shlo b'fanav, the gezel is not presenting himself in front of him, lo nafesh yitra. In other words, the gezela taiva is strong, but not as strong as Arayos, and therefore we have much more, we have to be much more careful about Arayos than it has to do with gezela. So then the Gemara says, last few lines of the Amud here. The Gemara says, lo ma'isa b'reishis, and b'shayim, you shouldn't learn ma'isa b'reishis with two people, why not? So Menani Mila, how do you know? Taner Abana, the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Devarim, it says, when you ask about the earlier days, I'm going to read the whole pasuk first, that were before you, from the day the world was created, Adam al aret, that man was placed on this earth, from the end or the edge of the sky, to the other edge of the sky, that's the whole pasuk. So what's the drasha? So Gemara says, when he, in the singular shal, when a person, a yachid, asks a question, the yachid is shoel, vein shnaim shalom. So this is based on the drasha. Only one person could learn with the Rebbe, not two people. Two people can't learn ma'aseh b'reishis. So yachid, one might think, yishal adam kodem shenivra olam. One might be able to ask what happened prior to the creation of the world. Tamalomar, limin hayom ashebara elokim adam ala aretz. So you're only allowed to ask questions from the day the world was created, not prior to the creation of the world. So Yacham, one might think, okay, that's the case. Lo yishal adam misheishin meibreishin. Maybe only when adam is al haaretz, from the sixth day. But the 6 days themselves, maybe that can't be asked. Because it says only adam hal haaretz, from the sixth day on, but not before the 6 days, or not before the sixth day. So the Gemara says, no, tam lomar liyam harishonim ashayu lefanecha. No, you could ask about those earlier days. You're allowed to ask about the 6 days of creation. Before the first day of creation, you can ask. This 6 days itself, you can ask on. Yachal yishal adam mala 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 mata mala fin mala achor. One might think you could ask what was above, what was below, what was before, what was after. These questions are also allowed. The Gemara says you can't ask those questions because tam lomar ulemikteh shemayim bat kteh shemayim. From within the edges, from within the heights and the lower parts of the Shemaim, you can ask, but beyond those borders, above, below, to the right, to the left, before, after, that's too much you can't ask. So this pasuk really captures all the questions that may be asked and may not be asked by Ma'aseh B'reishis. So now the Gemara says, on to your base, we'll go a few lines down. The Gemara says, Hashta denafkele, now that we learned, to tell me that you can't ask about the beyond the borders of the world, so that pasuk seems now superfluous, because now that pasuk of the Mikseh Shemayim tells me I can't ask what happened before the world was created. So what's the added drasha from Lemin Hayom Ashebar Lakim Adam Al Aretz? You can only ask from when the days that Adam was placed on this earth. So the Gemara answers the Lichad Rabbi Al-Azhar, the Amar Rabbi Al-Azhar, Adam Harishon Min Ha'aret Al-Rakia, that initially when Adam was created, he was so tall that his feet were on the ground and his head was up in the Rakia and Shemaim. He was very tall. Shenemar Limin Hayom Ashebar Lakim Adam Al-Ha'aret Ulemikteh Shemaim. He reached the height of the skies. The chayvin shesarach, but after eating from the eitz hadas, hiniach hakadosh baruch hu yadav alav, kadosh baruch hu placed his hands upon Adam umiato and squashed him, and he became very short. Shenemar achar v'kedem sartani v'tashel apkabecha, and he kind of squashed him with his hands. So that's what's being referenced here in this particular pasuk. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We first spoke about the case of Me'ila. That was a big chiddush. That was kararim ha'tulim b'sa'ara. That was a case of the shliach who didn't know it was hektish, yet he's still subject to the isra Me'ila. We spoke about the negarim. There are many psukim, and the olos are very few psukim. And the nakamin was, if you have a shayla in these areas, if it's best to first look in the psukim or best to look in the mishnayos, depends on which has more to talk about it. Then we spoke about the dinim. The chiddush of dinim was, of course, the many psukim about dinim, but the chiddush was nefesh tachas nefesh. When a person kills a woman or a person accidentally, that person does not play his own nefesh. Rather, it means mamon. That's the chiddush. Avodas is referring to halacha. That's a chiddush and not mentioned the psukim. That's what the mishnah refers to. Amashi yismachu. Tyros also, even though the psukim, the chiddush of the mishnah is that the shear of a mikvah memsa is the chiddush of the mishnah refers to. Timaeus is referring to the shear kadasha of a sheretz, and aras the chiddush of the mishnah is referring to the bito manusasa, that which is not mentioned explicitly in the Torah. And then the mishnah, the new parak, tells us that a person ain't dorshin aras only to three people. We discussed because one person pays attention, the other guy will listen, but if there are two people listening, they're going to talk to each other and not pay attention to the Rebbe. A person could only teach Maisim Bereishis to one person, and we'll get to Maisim Merkava only to one person who understands, who's a Chacham Mevi Mi Daita. Okay, I guess we'll stop here. Everybody have a wonderful day.